Well, good evening. Welcome to our evening worship service. Just begin with some announcements for the week ahead. Monday evening, this is not in the announcement sheet, is the monthly prayer time for Northern Presbytery congregations. That's online prayer time. Two new things on the table today, the November issue of the Covenanter Witness, and there's a free copy for each household. And then also there are prayer points from the work in Spain, now centered in Seville, where Isaac Barracol is the minister of the congregation there. Then Tuesday evening, 8 o'clock, is a session meeting, the monthly session meeting. Wednesday evening, then this week, there's a meeting of the Northern Presbytery, and that's in Ballymoney at 7:30 with William as our elder. Thursday evening is a prayer update meeting, an online meeting. The women's fellowships across the denomination will be participating in this with four speakers giving updates from the work in Seville, in Nantes, in Galway, and in South Africa. Then Friday evening is our CY meeting at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, God willing, the Sabbath school classes at 11. The worship services at 12 noon and 7:30 p.m. and the evening prayer time at 7:10. There's other announcements on the announcement sheet, but I'll mention those ones for now. Well, let us join in worshiping God this evening, and we sing his praise. Our opening psalm is from the start of Psalm 106. So turning to Psalm 106, we sing the first five stanzas, and the tune is St. Paul, number 152. Psalm 106, the psalm begins, O praise the Lord, O thank the Lord, for good to us is he, because his loving kindness lasts to all eternity. And even within that first verse, there's abundant cause for us to praise and thank the Lord. His loving kindness lasts to all eternity. You can't get any longer than that. And such is the great loving kindness of the Lord, that when he sets his love upon us, that it's not going to go away, it's not going to fade, it's not going to peter out, it's going to be there to all eternity. And so we are to praise the Lord, and we are to thank the Lord. And so let us unite in doing that. We sing these first five stanzas. The tune 152, we stand to sing and then remain standing for prayer. Let us worship God.
Oh, praise the Lord, oh, thank the Lord, for good to us is he, because his loving kindness lasts to all eternity. Oh, who the Lord's grace can express,
we speak to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you with these words of confession upon our lips that just as our fathers did before us, we too have sinned, we have committed iniquity, and we have acted wickedly. And Lord, we would not pretend to be anything different from that. We acknowledge, O Lord, our sin and how far short we fall of the righteousness displayed in our Lord Jesus Christ. But we give thanks, O Lord, that he came to save sinners, and that he does save sinners, and that he has saved sinners, and that he will save sinners. And Lord, we thank you that we can come and praise the Lord and thank the Lord, because your loving kindness lasts to all eternity. And so, Lord, we give thanks that in this world where everything seems to be so very uncertain, where there is one crisis talked about one day and another crisis talked about another day, and everything seems to be a crisis, we thank you, Lord, that your loving kindness lasts to all eternity, there's not going to be any shortage there, that it's not going to fail and it's not going to fade. And Lord, we rejoice in the truths that you remind us of in the scriptures. And we pray that you will help us this evening to be able to praise you and to thank you. We pray that you will help us, O Lord, to see our sin of falling short in that very thing. And we pray that you'll so work in us by your Holy Spirit that we will confess our sin and repent of our sin. We pray that any sorrow that we have over our sin will be a godly sorrow that will lead us to repentance. And we ask now for your help in this evening time of worship. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will use the teachings of Scripture that we're reminded of. And we pray, O God, that you will work in the hearts of your people, that we would want to be what we see in Scriptures that you want us to be. And Lord, hear us now in our prayers and work among us for your own glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read together from God's Word. We read from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, and reading in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. In our church Bible, the page number is 166, and we read the whole of this 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. So let us hear the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8 at verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And so reads this portion of God's own true word. Now we sing again to his praise. And we sing from Psalm 107, singing the first six stanzas of Psalm 107. And we sing to the tune Newington, number 123. Psalm 107. O thank the Lord, for he is good. His love will yet endure. So say the Lord's redeemed, from hand of foes redeemed secure. And the psalm speaks about how God gathers his people from the different places to which they were scattered and places where they were wandering. And God brings them to a good place. And so stanza 5 is one that's repeated in three other places in this psalm. Let them give thanks now to the Lord for love that never ends, and for his works of wonder done unto the sons of men. For he, the soul that thirsty is, does fully satisfy. With what is good, the hungry soul, he fills abundantly. And God's people are urged here to praise the Lord for his great salvation, to give thanks to the Lord for that never-ending love of his and for his great redeeming work, so that his people are a secure people. Psalm 107, the first six stanzas we sing, and the tune is Newington 123. We stand as we sing together the praise of God.
Together them are told.
read again from God's Word, turning this time to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17, and reading from verse 11. Luke chapter 17, from verse 11 down to verse 19, page 927 in our church Bible. This is God's word. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." So reads God's word. I've been speaking the last few times in our evening services about our stubborn sins, and last week I spoke about the sin of ungodliness. Ungodliness by which we are capable of living our everyday lives without any real meaningful thought of God. And this evening I want to consider another sin that is a stubborn sin in our lives. Often we're not actually conscious of it, but we are guilty of it. And God sees it. God always sees it. And I want to speak tonight about the sin of ingratitude. It is something that perhaps we become aware of early in life. I was speaking this morning about how children sometimes are told that they need to say sorry. Well, how many times also does a child be asked, "Did you remember to say thank you?" I confess that I didn't always remember to say thank you when I was a child. Sometimes you received something and you were just so excited about the thing that you had that you forgot to actually thank the person. We're thankful, but the excitement was greater than the thankfulness. But there's a difference between being thankful and saying thank you. You can say the right words, but not have the right attitude in your heart. Just as you can say sorry, but you're not actually sorry. You can say thank you, but you're not really thankful at all. And people of all ages and all stations in life can be guilty of the sin of ingratitude. And when we just take for granted the many, many good things that the Lord showers upon us day by day, we're not just being rude, but we are sinning against God. We're not just being thoughtless, but we're guilty of the sin of ingratitude. And that's a sin that we need to seek to repent of. I want to speak, first of all, of a sin that we're warned against. In Old Testament times, God warned his people, Israel, to be sure that they were not guilty of ingratitude. For they, above all the peoples of the earth in those days, had cause to be grateful, cause to be thankful. And we read in Deuteronomy chapter chapter 8, and part of chapter 8, it says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And the seriousness of this matter is enforced by God's words when he says, if you ever forget the Lord your God, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. And God threatens to destroy those who fail to acknowledge him, who fail to thank him, because he is the source of all the good things that they have. And so the Old Testament, we find warnings against ingratitude. But that's not just found in the Old Testament. When we come to the New Testament, we read there in the life of the Lord Jesus, the incident with the 10 men whom Christ healed of their leprosy. And only one of the 10, only one returned to give thanks. And he wasn't a Jew, but he was a Samaritan. And Jesus says, where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And clearly, Jesus saw this as being thoroughly wrong. That these 9 men who had been so wonderfully dealt with, that they failed to return thanks. It was a horrible act of ingratitude. And we see it so clearly there in that incident. And yet we need to consider that we as Christians, we have received something far more wonderful than those lepers had received. And if we prove to be unthankful for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, well, we cannot imagine that the Lord will be pleased with us if he doesn't see that we are the grateful ones who are always returning, always giving thanks for his wonderful salvation. And another evidence of the seriousness of the sin of ingratitude is found in Romans chapter 1. And at the end of that chapter, Paul gives a horrible picture of how sinners descend into a whole pit full of sins. Verses 29 to 31, Paul says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And how do people end up being like that? Well, Paul traces it back earlier in the chapter to this in verse 21. He says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They failed to give thanks to God. And look what it led to. Look at the pit of awful sin that it led to. And failing to return thanks to God goes along with forgetting about God. And when you cease to pause and to remember and to thank God for all his blessings, you're well on the way to committing all sorts of godless acts. If you forget what God has done for you, you'll soon be forgetting God in what you do. And ingratitude might not seem to be too serious a sin to us. We might think there are sins that are much more serious than ingratitude. But God seems to think otherwise. And God seems to view it as something that is very serious. And who will prove to be right? Will God's view of ingratitude prove to be right, or will our view of ingratitude prove to be right? We might think that ingratitude isn't really going to hurt anyone, but God has a different conviction. And we live in times when this failure to give thanks to God, this is a characteristic of our society. And God is not praised and thanked when the many good things come towards us. And so God calls upon us to make sure that we are not guilty, as others are guilty, of the sin of ingratitude. So ingratitude is a sin that we are warned against consistently in the Scriptures. In the second place, I want to speak about an attitude that God commands. Ingratitude is a sin, and as such, it is something that we need to confess and that we need to repent of. Ingratitude is something that grieves the Holy Spirit of God who lives within his saved people. And ingratitude is something that God, the Holy Spirit, wants to lead us away from. But we need to grasp more than that God wants us to avoid ingratitude. The only way we can avoid ingratitude is by becoming thoroughly thankful people. Because there really isn't much by way of middle ground between ingratitude on the one hand and thankfulness on the other hand. And so we have to be led away from ingratitude and led towards thankfulness. And God doesn't just warn us against the sin of ingratitude in the Scriptures, but he also teaches us very clearly that he wants us to be thankful, and he commands us that we must be thankful people. We're not allowed to be people who display ingratitude. That's not something that God will accept in his saved people. So many of the psalms that we sing remind us that we are to give thanks to the Lord. We sang in Psalm 106, verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." 107 begins in the same way, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." We'll be singing Psalm 118, verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And we get the same message again and again in the Psalms. We are commanded to give thanks to the Lord because he is good and his love endures forever. And there are many, many other verses in the Scriptures that call upon us to positively give thanks to the Lord, not just to avoid ingratitude, but to be thankful people who thank the Lord. And you can't be someone who loves the Psalms and at the same time have a spirit of ingratitude about you. That's an utter contradiction. The prayers of the Apostle Paul recorded in the letters that he writes in the New Testament are full of thanksgiving. Philippians 1 verse 3, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 9, he says, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" And again and again in what he writes, the Apostle Paul tells of the things that he is thankful for. And he writes as God's apostle, telling us that this is how God wants us to think also. Ephesians 5, verse 20, we're told we are to be always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in the scriptures, we are exhorted to be always giving thanks. That it's not just to be something that we do occasionally, but we are always to have this spirit of thanksgiving. And so our giving thanks is not just to be confined to what we say before eating a meal, or confined to our public acts of worship, or confined to our personal devotions. But thankfulness is to be an ever-present feature of our lives. We are to think thankful thoughts, and we are to speak thankful words. We are to be always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. And God isn't like a parent saying to a child, "Did you remember to say thank you?" No, God says that we are to have a spirit of thankfulness, that always there is to be this attitude about us, that we are thankful people. We give thanks because we are thankful people. And this is what God commands. This is the will of God. The will of God is that we be thankful as his saved people. And we cannot please God if we're harboring in our hearts thoughts that are ungrateful thoughts. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We're to give thanks. We're commanded to give thanks. That this is the will of God. We're to do it in all circumstances. And we will never regret giving thanks to God. We will never have to hang our head in shame and wish that we hadn't given thanks to the Lord. And we are instructed in the scriptures to give thanks not just in the times when we're conscious of how God has been especially good to us. We're not just to give thanks on the good days as we see them as being good, but we're to give thanks in all those average days, in all those normal run-of-the-mill days. In those days, we are to recognize how greatly blessed we are. And we're to give thanks in those grim days, in those days of loss, in those days of bereavement. We're to thank the Lord for the life that he has given to us, the life that he has given to our loved ones. And we're not to live as those who have no hope. We're not to grieve as those who have no hope, but we are to be thankful. A spirit of thankfulness is a wonderful witness and testimony. Those who are nurses will know the difference between a thankful patient and someone who's just steeped in ingratitude. There's such a difference. And God commands us to give thanks in all circumstances. He tells us this is always the will of God. And the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament was written in the very worst of days that are recorded in the scriptures. Jeremiah describes the great, great pain that he experienced and that God's people experienced. He goes into great detail. He describes it in such fullness. And yet, he also displays a spirit of thankfulness And he's able to say, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God commands that we're to be thankful always in all circumstances. And therefore, every time we fail to be thankful, every time we lapse into discontent, every time we lapse into grumbling, into resentment, or whatever it may be, well, we sin because we're not being thankful. And we're supposed to be thankful. And it's hard to be thankful in some circumstances. It's not that all circumstances are equally easy to be thankful in, but we're commanded to be thankful in all circumstances. And thankfulness, gratitude, is an evidence of the working of God's Spirit within us. It's an evidence of the sway that the Holy Spirit has over us. Thankfulness, gratitude, is always good, and ingratitude is always sinful. And because God commands us to always be thankful, well, that leaves no room at all for ingratitude. It is never acceptable to God. It is always an insult to him. It's a rejection of his providential working in our lives. We're taught in the scriptures that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, those who are the called according to his purpose. And when we're ungrateful, we're really saying that it's not working together for my good in this matter. And so there is an attitude that God commands. We're commanded to give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So there is the sin that we have to repent of, the sin of ingratitude, and there is the thankfulness that God commands of us. And in the third place, I want to speak briefly about pursuing thankfulness. How can we seek to be more thankful and less unthankful? Well, just three things I'll mention. First of all, the word and prayer. As with all the stubborn sins that linger in our hearts and in our lives, we need to have God's word stored in our hearts. We need his word stored up in our hearts so that we might not sin against him. It'd be a good thing to have that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in your heart. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And it would be a good thing to make that a matter that you bring to God in your prayers. And you can confess your sin to God, and you can tell God that I'm not really rejoicing in this matter. I'm not really thankful for this thing that's in my life, but I know that it is your will that I should give thanks in this circumstance. And allowing God's word to mold our thinking, and then praying that God will lead us into what he tells us is good. We should ask God to give us a grateful spirit, a spirit of thankfulness, that will not just be content with words of thanks, but having a spirit of thankfulness. So the word and prayer are vital in terms of pursuing thankfulness. Second thing I would say is that we need to deliberately pause to return thanks. God commands us to be thankful. And that takes time. And that takes a deliberate choice, and it requires effort. And we should deliberately thank the Lord in our prayers for the great spiritual blessings that come to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should thank the Lord for the forgiveness of sins that we have in Christ. We should thank the Lord that he adopts us as his sons and daughters in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We should thank the Lord that he has given us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We should thank the Lord for the eternal life that we have in Christ. We should thank the Lord for all that awaits us, all the perfections of heaven that will last forever. We should always be thanking God for these things, always praising him for his wonderful grace towards us and for his love that endures forever. The salvation of God is something that we should always be expressing thanks for in our prayers. We're commanded to be thankful, so let us be thankful, and let us say so in our prayers. We should also thank the Lord and deliberately make a point of thanking the Lord for all the material blessings we receive from him and all the abilities that he gives to us in life. It's good sometimes, just wherever you are, wherever you're praying, in your house, whether you're in your bedroom, in your kitchen, in your living room, in your whatever room you might be in, and just to look around you and see the things, the many, many things that God has given to you, and just express thanks to God for these things. Maybe it's things you use every day. Have you ever thanked God for your fridge? What a blessing it has been to you in life. Now, it's not your fridge. God has given that to you. And he is to be thanked for the ordinary things of life. It's good to deliberately praise God also for the things that he enables you to do, for the gifts that he has given you, for the skills that you have, for the abilities that you have. Thank God for your ability to work, your ability to study, to teach, to help others, whatever it might be. Don't lose sight of how blessed you are because of the busyness that you have in life. Pause and deliberately express thanks to God, for you have so much. And then we should also pursue thankfulness by deliberately thanking God for unseen good. Our plans in life don't always work out, but we must believe that God's plans do always work out. And we must exercise faith and thank God for the good that we do not presently see. You will often find yourself in situations where you just don't know what is the good that God intends in this. But your faith teaches you to expect that God will bring good out of all of this. And so we are to thank God for the good that he has in mind, the good that we can't see, the good that's round the corner that God has in store for us. We believe it's there. We don't know what it is. We don't know how soon it'll be experienced, but we're to thank God for it. That's what you find the Apostle Paul doing in the scriptures. He praises God there in the jail in Philippi after receiving a flogging, and he's giving thanks to the Lord. He's thanking the Lord in the midst of the pain in his flesh. you find him there out in the storm at sea, and he's giving thanks to God. The other sailors aren't giving thanks to God, but Paul is giving thanks to God. He doesn't see, he doesn't know in advance exactly what good God has in all of this, but he believes it's there, and it is always there. It's always there. And we do well to thank God for the good that we believe is there, although we do not presently see it. God commands us to give thanks in all circumstances, and we are to believe that in all our circumstances he is working for our good. Let us be aware then of the sin of ingratitude. We're probably guilty of it so many times, and it doesn't cause us a second thought. But God wants to shine his light into our sin and show us that we have received so much, and have we given thanks for the much that we have received? Do we keep on giving thanks for those blessings that we receive, and they're still there the next day and the next day and the next day? Do we give thanks for that love, that covenant love of the Lord that endures forever? That's what we're commanded to do in the scriptures. Ingratitude is always a sin. We always need to be repenting of that sin. And the more thankful God makes us, the more our light will shine in a dark world. As you come into the car park tonight, it was brighter than usual because Roy has been working at those three new lights that are there. And a spirit of thankfulness is like a light shining in a dark place. We live in a world full of grumblers and complainers. And the person who has a spirit of thankfulness, as they go about their life, whether things are going well or whether things don't feel like they're going well at all, the person who is giving thanks is a powerful witness to their Savior. And so God calls us and commands us to demonstrate gratitude. And we have so much to be grateful for. Amen. Well, we look to the Lord now in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. O Lord, our Father in heaven, we come before you this evening, and we come with confession of our sin. Lord, you are a wonderful God who has blessed us abundantly day after day after day. And we confess, O Lord, that often we have taken it for granted. We have just assumed that that's the way things will be. We have acted as if this is what we deserve. And, O Lord, we know that that is not the case at all. And so we confess, O Lord, our sin of ingratitude. Often we're so busy moving on to the next thing that we don't really pause and give thanks for how good you have been to us. And so we pray, O Lord, that you will help us to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness, that we will deliberately be thankful. Help us in our prayers, O Lord, to reflect on your dealings with us and to bring you our thanks. We pray that you will help us to recognize when we're not being thankful. Help us to recognize, O Lord, that we're going astray and we're failing to be what you've commanded us to be. Help us in those times when it is most difficult to be thankful. Help us to find a way of being thankful. Help us to believe, O Lord, that there is good that you intend in all that you bring us through in life. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that you give us. We thank you for the wonderful examples we have of your servants and how, O Lord, they exhibited a thankfulness when life was so hard for them. We look to you, Lord, for the events of this week. We pray for the different meetings that are due to take place. Pray for the session meeting here on Tuesday night. We ask, Lord, for wisdom for the members of session and the different matters that we discuss and reflect upon. We pray also for the meeting of the Northern Presbytery on Wednesday night, and we pray for the consideration of the congregation of Ballyclabber. We thank you, Lord, for the recent visitation of Ballyclabber, and as the report is drawn up on that, we pray that that will be something that you will use for the good of the folk in Ballyclabber, for their encouragement and for their help and for the progress of your cause there. We pray also for other matters being dealt with by the presbytery, and we pray for wisdom and knowing how to go about handling some difficult situations. We pray, Lord, for your wisdom and your leading. We give thanks for the opportunity to hear of what you've been doing in faraway places. We pray for the Women's Fellowship prayer update meeting on Thursday, and we pray that all the technology will work okay for that, that those who will be speaking from Spain and from France and from South Africa and from Galway, that they will be heard clearly, and we pray that there'll be encouragements for ladies who are able to hear of what you've been doing in those different places. Lord, we thank you for those things that we have and that are regarded as normal in our lives, but for many other people, they don't have these things and have never had these things. And we praise you, Lord, for the peace that we have. We pray for the situation in Ukraine and for the hardships that so many are experiencing there. And Lord, we pray for your mercies in that this will come to an end, and that you would intervene, and that there will be change that will come that will affect many, many millions of people, whether it's people in Ukraine or people in Russia. Lord, you're the one who establishes rulers and regimes, but you're also the one who brings them down. And Lord, we pray that you will raise up those who will be more righteous rulers. And Lord, we ask for your working and your intervention. We pray for our neighbouring congregation in First Karatz and the charge there that's now linked with Armoy. We give thanks for that vacancy coming soon to an end. And we pray for the minister that's due to be installed there. We pray for Gary Glasgow, and who in a few weeks' time will take up that pastoral charge of First Karatz and Armoy. We pray for him and the great change it will be from the work that he's been doing in Larne. And we pray, Lord, that he will have a great impact in this part of the land. We pray that you will bless his ministry. We pray that many will benefit from the work that he does. And Lord, we look to you for encouragements for Christian people in these congregations. May they see much good that you will bring about in the coming days. Lord, we ask that you will draw near to those known to us who are going through times of difficulty. We pray for those who face physical distress, and we pray that you will give help in coping with constant pain and with the situations where some people have no real prospect of anything that's going to make a major difference in their lives. Lord, we pray that you will be merciful to those who have to live with very difficult physical symptoms. And Lord, we pray for those who have other difficulties to deal with. We pray for those who mourn at this time. We ask for your mercies toward Graham and his family circle, that you'll help them, O Lord. We thank you for your mercies, that you give strength to Linda to cope with the illness that she had, and that her passing wasn't a long drawn out thing. And Lord, we just look to you for your help and comfort and for your strength and for being able to cope with the things that have to be done in the aftermath of a death. And Lord, we pray for your help in rebuilding and in facing a different kind of life experience. Lord, we look to you for your mercies. We pray, Lord, for the many who have lost loved ones during recent years and all the anniversaries that seem to come around so quickly and are so difficult for people. And Lord, we pray for your help for those who have much sadness in their hearts. We praise you, Lord, that even in the sad times that there is so much that you give us that we can be thankful for. And so we pray that you will put that thought in our hearts and help us to know that always it is the will of God that we should be giving thanks. Lord, hear our prayers in these things. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing to God's praise from the beginning of Psalm 118. And we sing the first five stanzas here in this psalm. It begins, "O thank the Lord, for he is good, for his love never ends. O let all those of Israel say that his love never ends. Let all the house of Aaron say that his love never ends. Let all who fear the Lord now say that his love never ends." Stanza 4, "The Lord is for me, I'll not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me, he's my help. My foes' doom I will see. It's better in the Lord to hide than put your trust in man. It's better in the Lord to hide than trust in princes grand." And knowing that the Lord is for us counts for more than anything that might be against us. And his love is a love that never ends. And so we are to thank the Lord. Psalm 118, the first five stanzas. The tune this time is Winchester number 179. And we stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction.
Oh, thank the Lord for
receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.